The faqih who knows the rules and doesn't act by them, it's worse than the ignorant one who loves Allah. You see, that's why the Christian is closer to the Muslim. The Christian can become Muslim much easier than the Jew. One of the meanings of dalin in Arabic is dal means to be in love. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى is one of the commentaries. Dal means, dalala is a type of love. Because when you fall in love, you, like Layla and Majnun. Majnun, he's just walking around seeing double. أَمُرُّ بِدِيَارِ دِيَارَ لَيْلَ وَقَبْرُ دَلْ جِدَارَ وَدَلْ جِدَارَ وَمَا الْجِدَارُ شَغَفْنَا قَلْبِي وَلَكِنْ حُبُّ مَنْ سَكَنَ الدِّيَارُ. This is Layla. He's just walking around kissing walls and saying, it's not the walls I'm in love with, it's the one that living inside the walls. And that's why the Christian life type of insanity. That's why they literally, they go crazy. They start talking in tongues and doing all kinds of things. If you ever see that, it's pretty frightening. The Jew is rational. He's a rational being. Logical. Thinks things out. Long-term planner. And I'm talking at the archetypal level. People misunderstand these things. I'm talking about archetypes, not stereotypes. So this aberrant behavior is embodied in the Majus in terms of other deens, and it's embodied in the Munafiq in terms of this deen. The Majus worships two gods, light and darkness. And this is the Munafiq, going between Iman and Kufr. يتذبذب. This is what he does, goes between the two. We do this to our children. So now just to look, you know, given that just as a format, I want to look at the nature, what is a family in Islam? Why do we even have families? I mean, what's the whole point of all this? I mean, see, these people, they're philosophers that say this is just a elegant dance to nowhere. That's what Carl Sagan called this whole thing. It's just an elegant dance to nowhere. We're just going nowhere. This evolution. Their philosophers say it's just all absurd. This is what they call the existentialists. Now they're trying to deal with some new way. They haven't really got past existentialism. They're working on it. But existentialism, these people say, it's all just absurd and you have to create your own meaning in the midst of a meaningless existence. This is what they say. That you just have to find out meaning and then just try to live with it. We don't say that. That's not our deen. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. And the Prophet said, لَا يَزَالَ النَّاسِ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. Human beings would continue to philosophize, because that's what philosophy is, asking questions. يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. They'll continue to ask questions. مَنْ خَلَقَ هَذَا. Who created this? And they have to come back, Allah, until they arrive to the question, Allahu Akbar. This Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the knowledge of the first and the last people, and gave him the ability to articulate the truths of the end of time, said, until they say, Man khalaq Allah? Who created Allah? And this is where these crazy people have gotten to. This is where their philosophy has taken them. If you study in their university, they ask this question. Who created Allah? Is Allah just a projection of the human being because we found ourselves in a meaningless universe and we're trying to work out how we got here and what this all means? Did we just invent this big, like Freud said, it's just a big father in the sky? Because the Christians say our father. We don't say our father. They say our father. But the Christians say that Freud just said it's a big father in the sky. You're just projecting the big father in the sky. You see, this is where they've got to. They say, who created God? And the feminists say, wherever God is a man is a God. That's what the feminists say. You see, they say, if God, like Jesus, is a man, they say he's God, it must mean then that God is a man is a God. This is the feminist critique. Well, alhamdulillah, we don't worship a man. مَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتَ وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. We don't worship a man. The Prophet ﷺ is our example, but he's not our God. Nor do we have anthropomorphic pictures of God. We don't give God the attributes of human beings. God gives human beings things, attributes of the divine, not the other way around. Not the other way around. The human being can be merciful, and that's an attribute of Allah, Rahmah. The Prophet ﷺ is called Rahmatin lil Alameen. But not the other way around. So we have a correct understanding of existence and they don't. When we are given the gift of children, we are given an amana. This is an amana. Ibn al-Hajj in his Madkhal, quoting Qawi Ibn al-Arabi, says, إِنَّ الصَّبِي أَمَانَةٌ عِنْدَ أَبَوَيْهِ وَجَوْهَرَةٌ نَفِيسَةٌ. The child with the two parents is an amana. It is a trust given to the parents, a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَوْهَرَةٌ نَفِيسَةٌ, and a precious essence, a precious jewel. فَإِنْ عَوَّدَهُ خَيْرًا نَشَى عَلَيْهِ. If they raise them and habituate that child to good, the child grows up doing good. And this is the mu'min. We are the people of khayr. يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. They enjoin good. This is the mu'min, is one who calls to good. So in عَوَّدَاهُ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ نَشَى عَلَيْهِ فَلَهُمَا ذَوَابُهُ. The two parents have the reward of the parent for every good that he does. إِذَا مَاتَ إِبْنُ آدَمَ انْقَطَعَ مِنْ عَمْرِهِ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. If the Adam, son of Adam, which means the woman as well, dies, all of action is cut off except for three things. وَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُو لَهُ. A righteous child that is left behind that calls خَيْر. يَدْعُو لَهُ خَيْرًا. وَارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Have mercy on them in the same way they raised me with mercy as a child. وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. We have enjoined upon the man and the woman concerning their parents. We have enjoined upon them one ihsana. حَمَلَتْهُ كُرْهَا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهَا. The mother, أُمَّهُ. The mother, حَمَلَتْهُ كُرْهَا, carried as a pregnant woman in something that was difficult. كُرْه is a strong word about qital. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ. Killing somebody is a كُرْه. It's difficult, it's detestable to you. Pregnancy is a difficult thing for the woman. وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا, and she gave birth to the child كُرْهًا. وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ 30 شَهْرًا. The caring and nurturing and weaning the child is in 30 months. SubhanAllah. And then Allah says about the child in Luqman, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. See, it says, وَصَيْنَا. Allah has enjoined upon the human being بِوَالِدَيْهِ, the two parents, but then mentioned the mother. When the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ بِصَحْبَتِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Who are the most worthy of my good companionship? أُمُّكَ ثُمَّ مَنْ أُمُّكَ ثُمَّ مَنْ أُمُّكَ. Mother three times, and then who? ثُمَّ مَنْ أَبُوكَ. Your father. The Qur'an, this is the Qur'anic worldview. كَانَ خُلُقُ وَالْقُرْآنِ. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمَّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ. Sapped and weakened. This is what our mothers did for us when we were in the wombs of our mothers. Sapped and weakened. We don't know the physiological state that our mothers were carrying us with. SubhanAllah. Vomiting. Feeling like they're going to die. Really? Unbelievable. You watch the women. Watch them when they're pregnant. Your wives. Look at them. Their states. Have mercy on them. Have mercy on them. Incredibly difficult state, and Allah clarifies it. Wahnan ala wahn, not just wahn, wahn ala wahn. Sapped and weakened, weakness upon weakness. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنَشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. Show gratitude to me, to Allah. وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. This is a powerful wow right there in the Arabic language. One of the few times that Allah shows musharaka. One of the few times in the Quran Allah will allow anything to have musharaka with Him in the gratitude that we must show to Allah and to our parents. Wali walidayk. But the parents have to be worthy of this gratitude. The way that your children will be grateful to you is if you truly take upon this amana and fulfill the amana that the Prophet ﷺ and the Quran has shown us what to do. If you look at the child when it comes into the world is what we call tabula rasa, a blank slate. We will paint what we want. We will literally chisel away and turn this pure being that is directly from the unseen world, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, into this world, and we will turn them into a Jew, a Christian, or a fire worshipper, or we will preserve and maintain their fitrah in the same way that we preserve and maintain a jawhara, a precious jewel. You don't throw a jewel out into the streets. That's what these people do in this culture. They throw their children into the streets. They throw them into nurseries and let fat, unkept people that don't know anything about tarbiyah, raising their children. This is what they do. They stick them in for a quid and a half an hour. Teach somebody that doesn't even have a high school education, whatever you call that here. Doesn't even know how to speak the English language. And that's where you're putting your johara. So what do we expect? One of the signs of the end of time in Taburani, the Prophet said, سَيَكُونُ مَطْرُ بَيْضًا وَالْوَلَدُ غَيْضًا. Vein will be acidic. It will be burning. This is a hadith. Vein will burn like sulfuric acid. You can study about acidic rain. Burns, destroys trees, destroys fish, where it hits lakes from all these factories and all these things. الْمُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And the child will be filled with rage. Filled with rage. Why is the child filled with rage? Because like Sayyidina Ali, when a man came to him and said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Inna waladi ya'uqni. My child is disrespectful to me. He said, Kayfa kunta lamma kana saghira. How were you with him when he was little? He said, Kuntu uhmiluhu. I used to neglect him. He said, أَهْمَلْتُهُ فَيُهْمِلُكَ. You neglected him, and now he's neglecting you. This is a just world. The world is a mirror and a reflection for us to perceive our own internal states. The Muslims are in their conditions because this is what we deserve. And when we change our states will change. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change a people from good to bad or from bad to good until they change what's in themselves. The internal change precedes the external change. This is what they call cognitive dissonance, which we call nifaq. See, they have all these fancy words, we have simple words. So this is what happens. You see, we destroy our children. Now what I want to talk a little, why do we have families? The first and primary reason, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. He's the one who created from you your mates. From men he created women, and from women he created men. For mates, أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. In order to find sakina, to find sakina. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And we have placed between you مَوَدَّةً and رَحْمَةً. Now مَوَدَّةً is a very beautiful word, because the word really is, does not have sexual connotation. We have placed between you love. One of the ta'wil al-jahileen is that it means مَوَدَّةً جِمَاعٌ وَالرَّحْمَةً الْوَلَدُ. You see this in books. Mawaddah, Allah is Al-Wadood. This is the name of Allah. We can be Abdul Wadood. Mawaddah is the love that transcends the material, that transcends the physical. And that's why when the woman's sexuality has dissipated in the old age, the love is still there. You see, When the woman has lost her youth and beauty and is no longer has the sexual aspect of her being, what we call ajuz, which in Arabic you use the male and the female, you don't have a female form, just ajuz. Because it's transcending the sexual element, the polarity. See, so an old woman is called ajuz and an old man is called ajuz. But the mawadda is still there, the love is still there because it wasn't about sexual love. We call that shahwa, which is part of human nature. But this is not what the relationship between a man and a woman is about. Warahma, and mercy. There has to be mercy. Now in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we use this word. So the primary purpose of the family unit is companionship, sakina, which comes out of this mawadda and rahma, but also the procreative potential that is inherent in the vast majority of human beings. Not all of them. And that is why the primary purpose of human existence is certainly not to procreate. And Muslims do not say this. And I contend any book that like these, there's some books I've seen about called Women and Islam, and where they say the primary, the major role of a woman in life is to bear children. And you think that, where, show me what Imam said that. Show me what Imam said that. I mean the ancient Imam, not these modern, like me, these crazy Imams. The real Imam, we're just a bunch of phonies. That's what we are. The real Imam, show me one real Imam that said that. The awwal wajib ala man kulli fa mumakkin min nadr an ya'rifa Allah wa ar-rusul bi sifati mimma alayhi nasb al-ayat. That's the reason we were created. Ma khalaqtu al-jinna wal-insa illa liya'budun. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءَ عَقِيمًا. He makes whoever he wants barren. So what, the barren person just say, oh, I don't have any role in life because I don't have children. No, the reason we were created was to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that goes for the male and the female. When the Christians debating whether or not women had souls, in the 7th century they actually came to the conclusion they didn't. Subhanallah. And we had Hafilat to Ibn Hajar when he went to Damascus. He had 4 teachers in hadith, 3 of them were women. One of the greatest muhaddithin this ummah has ever produced. I mean really, great women. When I was in Mauritania, one of my teachers was a woman, brilliant woman. Where are those women now? Really, where are they? See, we don't like our women to get educated. And we have to deal with this fact. We don't like them to get... My contention is, in the books of fiqh, when you come to the wajibat al-bayt, there's a chapter in the books of fiqh about the obligations of the house. And in those chapters it says, according to the Hanafis, the Shafi'is and the Hanbalis, that women don't have to cook. We don't want them to get to that chapter, you see. Because then suddenly they say, hey, wait a second. Man, I've been doing this all this time thinking it's wajib and it's just mustahab. And then the man says, oh no, trouble at home, man. What's that imam putting into them? You see those imams corrupting the women. Huh? Not getting the curry tonight. Huh? Seriously, why we keep our women ignorant? Muslim men now, they're afraid of intelligent women because so many of us are so stupid. Seriously, they would just make us feel more stupid. If a woman can actually hold a conversation with us, oh man, this looks dangerous. She's starting to talk about wajibat and taklif and I, right? Seriously, why we don't educate our women? Why we leave them ignorant? Why are we so afraid of an educated woman? But if we have uneducated women, then we have uneducated children. If we have stupid women, we have stupid children. That's a reality. That's just a fact. The Prophet said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْمُرْضِعَ الْحَمْقَى. Beware of these stupid wetness. فَإِنَّهَا تُغَذِّي. She's giving more than milk. Imam Shafi'i talks about that, of getting an intelligent wet nurse. You want an intelligent woman. Halima Sa'diya was a brilliant woman. Read her hadith. They're some of the most complicated Arabic structures you will find in the hadith. Halima Sa'diya, look at her hadith, how that woman spoke, the syntactical structures that she used. She'll run rings around the Quraysh. And that's the wet nurse of the Prophet ﷺ. And her name's Halima. The word in Arabic for forbearance is Hilm, and the word for nipple is Halama. There's a relationship, you see, between forbearance, which is what the mother is giving the child, and al-hilmu yasbiq al-ilm. If you don't have forbearance, you can't learn. Because learning is based on adab. And if you don't give your children adab, they can't learn. That is why Islamic education was always based on adab. The original word for the Islamic schools were called ma'daba, the place where you learned adab. Sayyidina Ali said, لَعِبُوهُمْ لِسَبْعٍ. Play with your children for 7 years. وَأَدِّبُوهُمْ لِسَبْعٍ. And then give them adab. The hadith that the Prophet ﷺ relates, which is sound, خَيْرُ نَحْلَةٍ نَحَلَهُ الْوَالِدُ لِوَالِدِهِ أَدَبًا حَسَنًا. The best gift that a father can give to his son is good adab. أو كما قال. The best gift that a father can give to his child is good adab. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna al-Qur'an ma'adabatu Allah, fakhudu min ma'adabatihi." This Qur'an is the place where we learn adab, so learn adab from it. Look at Luqman, what he tells his son. Waqsid fi mashika. Be moderate in your walking. Look how the fathers now, seriously, I'm bringing this up. Look how Muslims walk now. You watch Muslims walk. Just strolling around like they have all day. And then you look at the description of the walking of the Prophet. It's not for nothing that we're told how to teach our children how to walk. And if you want to know how to walk, look at how the Prophet walked. He walked with determination. They said that was hard to keep up with him. The Sahaba said it was hard to keep up with him. We had a difficult time keeping up with him. كُنَّ نُجْهِدُ أَنفُسَنَا. We used to wear ourselves out because he was going somewhere. He was a man with a goal. He was moving. He was in progression. He was headed amam. And if somebody called him, he didn't say, what? Like that. He's turned around completely. He turned around completely. You see, that's called, there's a law in cardiology called the Frank Starling Law of the Heart. It's called the all or nothing law. The heart goes all or nothing. It's either going to kick in or you die. And that's the nature of the spiritual heart. You either give somebody all or don't give them anything. But don't be halfway people. Don't give this deen half of yourself. The Salaf used to say, مَنْ أَعْطَى الْعِلْمُ كُلَّهُ أَعْطَاهُ بَعْضَهُ. The one that gives knowledge his entire self, knowledge gives him a portion of knowledge. وَمَنْ أَعْطَى الْعِلْمَ بَعْضَهُ لَمْ يُعْطِيهُ شَيْئًا. And the one that gives knowledge a portion of himself, knowledge doesn't give him a thing. So teaching our children how to walk. And if you're not an example, when Allah says, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنِنَا وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Look at these ayahs. This is siyaqul ayah. These are mu'jizat. Allah says, oh our Lord, give us as a gift. As a gift. Allah is al-Wahhab. Give us as a gift from our mates. Our mates, male and female, our mates. And people translate in the English translation, I always translate as what? لَكُمْ فِي أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأُولَادِكُمْ عَدُوًا. إِنَّ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ عَدُوًا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. They translate, surely your wives and your children are an enemy for you. So watch out for it. That's not what that ayah means. It doesn't say wives. It says your mates. Because there's a lot of women that are living with Fir'aun. There's a lot of Muslim women living with Fir'aun. And it's not for nothing that Allah gives us the dua of Imrat Fir'aun. In the Qur'an, وَنَدِّينِ مِنْ فِرْعَوْنِ. Save me from Fir'aun. She was living in the house of the biggest tyrant. And there's a lot of women in that state. And there's husbands that force women to take off the hijab. I know, I'm not making these things up. There's husbands that don't want their women to be praying, to be acting according to the deen of Islam. Because I know I get these complaints. Wallahi, I get women telling me, I want to do this, my husband doesn't want. I want to raise my children this way, he doesn't want, he wants him. So this is sickness. But then Allah says, give us from our mates and our children the coolness of our eye, tears of joy. That's what the Arabs, they say, قَرَّتْ عَيْنُكَ. That's what somebody said to Hajjaj. أَقَرَّ اللَّهُ عَيْنَكَ. You know, may Allah make your eye cool, and he meant may Allah kill you, because when you die, you lose the heat of the body. But it sounded good, the dua. So he, Hajjaj, said, okay, alhamdulillah, jazakallah. That's not what they meant. That's part of the cleverness of the Arab, like the man sitting on the Hajjaj came up to a man. We all like to pick on Hajjaj, and he had some good qualities too, but man, the Hajjaj came along, he saw a man and he said, what do you say about Hajjaj ibn Yusuf? And he said, A'udhu billah, sharrun min sharr. He's evil from evil. Afsad al-ibad wa kharrab al-bilad. He just ruined all the slaves and destroyed the earth. He said, Atadri man ana? You know who I am? He said, La wallah. He said, Ana Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. I'm Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. He said, Atadri man ana? You know who I am? He said, no. He said, Ana majnoon hadhi qariya. I'm the madman from that village over there. Don't take what I say. Don't be me worth anything. So we then Allah says in this ayah, He says, وَدِعَنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, and make us an imam. In other words, the only way your children and your husbands and wives are going to be your qurrat al-ayun, the coolness of your eye, is if you're an example to them. That's why what follows the dua is saying, and make us an example to the people of taqwa. In other words, make us be people of our word and our action being the same. Our word is good and our action is good, because children recognize hypocrisy. If you're smoking and telling your child not to smoke, you're not telling them not to smoke, you are telling them to smoke. Because words are meaningless. It's the actions which speak. Like the Emerson, the American philosopher, one man was talking to him once, and he said, I can't hear you because your actions are speaking so loud. You see? And there's a lot of Muslims, that's the state we're in. You can talk all the beautiful words and all that, but in the end of the day, like Malik said, أَدْرَكْتُ قَوْمًا لَمْ يُعْجِبُهُمَ الْكَلَامِ. I knew a people that weren't impressed by speech. And he was talking about the Tabi'een, because they knew the Sahaba. And the Sahaba weren't people of speech. They were people of action. Ilm wal amal. Teaching. Not just sitting around and propped up blocks of wood. That's what we've become. An ummah of propped up blocks of wood. And you know what a propped up block of wood is? It's useless. It's not holding anything up. It's being held up. Completely useless. And wood, you know what they use useless wood for? They throw it in the fire. And Allah says, كَأَنُّهُمْ خُشُبٌ مُسَنَّدَةٌ, like they're propped up blocks of wood. That's what we become, just sitting up against the walls of the masjid, like propped up blocks of wood. That's what we're ummah, propped up blocks of wood. Our countries are held up by kuffar. That they're in reality destroying it, but nobody else is doing anything, so they're just going to get busy to what they know best. I mean, don't blame them. It's like the devil says, don't la talumuni, don't blame me. That's what the devil said. That's his khutbah in hell. He says, hey, don't blame me. I invited you to the party. You didn't have to come. You see, really, don't blame Shaitan. Don't blame the colonialists. We have to get out of this blame. This is Iblis style. Iblis says to Allah, bima ghwaytani, you led me astray. He blames Allah. And then he said, look at his sickness. Like Fakhruddin al-Razi says, look at the sickness of Shaitan. He accuses Allah of leading him astray and considers that bad. And then he says, وَبِمَا غَيْتَنِي لَغْوَيَنَّهُ أَجْمَعِينَ, I'm going to lead everybody astray because you led me astray. I'm a nice guy. Right? I mean, that's not the golden rule. So he's sick in his mind. What does Adam do? Adam doesn't blame Allah. Adam blames himself. He doesn't even blame Shaitan. Show us in the Quran where Adam says, Shaitan made me do it. Shaitan made me eat from the tree. He didn't make him eat from the tree. He just whispered like an impulse. You don't have to follow your impulse. You say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. So we have to be examples. Now, at what time is it? I have a suggestion. People can do what they like. I can either break here for about 10 minutes.
if people want to take a break, or I can continue. Just because... What's that? We have questions? See, I wanted to get into some other stuff, but... What? Continue or just... What I want to talk about is now is just, we've talked again about where we're at, and it's just a bad habit with the Muslims. But what now? How can we change our situation? What can we do? I personally believe that we as an ummah must begin to think in long term. We have to stop thinking, you know, we're just band-aid people. That's what we do. We put band-aids on hemorrhages. We have to move beyond that. We have to start thinking about how we can actually, you know, make something happen. Now, in my own limited study of Islamic history, what I have noticed is consistently in the history of Islam, when Islam has been in crises, what has elevated the Muslims once again out of their crises is education. Now, we talk about Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. Salahuddin al-Ayyubi did not come out of a vacuum. He is a result of madrasa systems that were literally set up 100 years before Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. He is the fruit of work that began 100 years before he was born. And we lose sight of that in our historical perspective, partly because we don't read history, but partly because we tend to glorify individuals and not recognize one collective efforts. That individuals, even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had people, Allah says in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He gave you victory, Allah, but also and with the mu'mins. That your victory was also by the mu'mins. And the Prophet was reminded of that in the Quran. That the mu'mins were there to help him with his message. What he used to ask for was ansar. He used to go to Suq al-Qaf and he would ask for people, Man yansuruni. He would ask, who will help him in his message? And finally, the Aus and the Khazraj took bay'ah with him. This is what happened. That was the beginning of the strength of Islam. This is when Islam, the shawkat of Islam, the power of Islam begin to manifest. What we need to do is recognize that our children really, I personally think that our generation, that what we have to do if we are to make anything happen is to concentrate on our children. To recognize that our children must be educated. We have to break this cycle. We have to break this cycle. And the only way we are going to break this cycle is to return to the methodology of the people of the community, of the first community, but also the rightly guided Khalaf. Because they are part of our historical legacy. And this deen is transmitted that way. We have to look seriously at the madrasa systems that produced these people that led our societies out of disarray, out of depravity, out of subjugation and humiliation. We have to look at what they did and study these things seriously and begin to implement this. If we look, the child, which this gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the individual, can be maintained and nurtured and grown with tarbiyah first and tazkiyah and ta'deeb and ta'leem. The tarbiyah is literally the material nurturing and the rahmah that's shown. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا, the kahir is for tashbiyah. And what that means is, show them mercy like they showed me mercy. Tarbiyah is literally to show mercy. Tarbiyah is different from ta'aleem. Ta'aleem is literally the imprinting of knowledge into the child. The word allama in the Quran, which means to teach. Ar-Rahman khalaq al-insan, allamahu al-Quran. Ar-Rahman allama al-Quran, khalaq al-insan, allamahu al-bayan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the merciful, the Rahman, the Murabbi, the Rabb al-Alameen, He has taught the Qur'an, but also placed it as a sign. Allama al-Qur'an is also to make alamat. And this is what the Qur'an is, signs, ayat, semiotic symbols in which we can perceive reality by. And then he created the human being, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ, and taught him articulation, taught him the ability to perceive and articulate symbols. We are symbol makers and symbol interpreters. This is our nature as human beings. One of the most powerful stories is the story of a woman called Helen Keller, who was a woman who was blind, deaf, and dumb. She was born, like in the Quran, summun bukmun umyun, fahum la yubsirun, the blind, deaf, and dumb. She had all three, blind, deaf, and dumb. If you read the diary of her teacher, when she first met her, this girl, she was a young girl, already into her 7, 8, 9, she was, I think, 10 years old, around this age. She was described as an animal. She was like an animal, completely like an animal. She ate like an animal, she reacted violently, all of these things. This woman was a brilliant educator, she was a mu'addiba. She took this woman, Helen Keller, and taught her through tactile stimulation, symbols. And then you see the transformation of this woman, this young woman, from an animal to a human being. One of the most extraordinary examples of the human potential, really, her story is worth reading. And this is what Allah does through education. We are blind, deaf, and dumb without wahi, without revelation. And this is what revelation is. It's to open up our eyes, to open up our ears, and to give us the ability to articulate reality. This is what we are. But we have to rise above our blindness, our deafness, and our dumbness. And the way we do this is to become people of meaning, to become people of symbols, to become people of depth and substance, to become ulul albab, not to be slogan people, not to be pamphleteers, not to be propagandists, not to be demagogues, but to be deep educators and educated. This is the role of the Muslim. We are here to take the blind, the deaf, and the dumb, and to give them the symbols whereby they obtain their birthright of humanity. This is what Muslims are. We are the ummah that is to take human beings out of darkness, لِيُخْرِجَهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, to take them out of the darkness of blindness, deafness, and dumbness into the light of hearing, seeing, and perception. هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمَ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبَصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. He is the one who gave you, who created you, and gave you hearing, seeing, and the power of cognition, the power of comprehension, the power of understanding, that you might give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the purpose of the human being. We are to be people of dhikr, fikr, and shukr. This is our role in life, and to take this out to humanity. To be people of the remembrance of God, to be people who are reflective. الَّذِينَ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. This is what we are to be. إِنَّمَا الْكَوْنُ مَعَانٍ قَائِمَةٌ بِالصُّوَرِ. The whole of the cosmos is just meaning set up in images. Don't be deluded by the images like these hayawanat. Animals, all they see is the qalib. They don't see the qalb. They never see the inside. They just see the outside. That's the level of hayawan. But we are not hayawan. We are insan. We are Bani Adam. لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have ennobled Bani Adam. This is who we are, and this is our birthright. And all of this Dajjalic system out here, which is trying to tell people that they were created to eat, and to fornicate, and to dance, and to drink, to get out of their natural state of intellection and perception, and to go into a deluded state of fantasy and khayal. This is what this system wants to give people. They would rather in this country have churches turned into discos than masjids. They would rather have people like pigs and monkeys dancing than have them bowing before their Lord in a state of humility and awe. And we have an alternative to that. But the alternative takes people. من المؤمنين رجال. It takes from the believers men and women. It takes from the believers, men and women. صدقوا ما عهد الله عليه. There are people who believe in this oath that we have taken from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate ourselves and to elevate humanity. But the basis of this is in the ayah, قُوْ أَنفُسُكُمْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسُكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَةٌ غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. If we do not become people that save ourselves and our families, we cannot save humanity. We cannot save anybody. If we can't save our own selves and become the embodiment of this teaching, how can we take it to anyone else? How can we give it to anyone else? And this is what we have to do. But this is takalluf. This is mashaqqa. This is difficulty. It's not ease. It's struggle. It's jihad. It's ishtihad. It's mujahada. This is what Islam is. And if you don't want it, Allah says, that's fine. If you don't want it, don't take it. But don't play with it. Don't play with it. And don't become a barrier. The Muslims in this country, wallahi, have become a barrier from people becoming Muslim. And Allah says, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Don't make us fitna for those who are in kufr. Imam Asyuti says, it means, don't subjugate us and humiliate us by our wrong actions until nobody wants to enter into this deen. And this is where we're at. So we have to begin to seriously think. We have to begin to reflect. We have to look at the people who went before us, what they did in these conditions. We have to create institutions of learning. We have to get our children out of these school systems, because these school systems will completely destroy them. These people don't know how to educate. We know how to educate. They don't know how to educate. And I'm talking as somebody who went through their school system as well as being in traditional schools. I went through their school system. I went to one of the best private schools in the United States, with sons of senators in these things. The best they have, and the best are here as well, eaten in these places. Look at the sickness that comes out, the foulness, the stench that rises to the top of these societies. Look at them. This is the best of what they have to produce. Fornicators, pornographers, sellers of drugs and alcohol. When the riots in Liverpool happen, what do? They send in drugs. That's where they deal with social unrest. Where do those drugs come from? They come from the people in power. Don't think they don't come from the people in power. This is not a joke. If you go to a store and buy a blue guide, don't buy it, but go look at it, a blue guide to Morocco. In that blue guide to Morocco, there's a little section on where to buy hashish. Not only where to buy it, where they grow it. Morocco's one of the major distributors of hashish. Now, if a tourist can find out where they grow hashish in Morocco, you don't think the king knows where the hashish is grown? You don't think the secret police know where the hashish is grown? So why don't they do anything about it? Because they own the place. They're the ones exporting it. And don't think Hassan does anything that his masters in Washington don't let him do. Because he does what he's told. I mean, the man looks like Frank Sinatra. That's who's the king of Morocco, with deference to Moroccans. The man, look, and you don't look like Frank Sinatra from living like a clean life. You know, when I was in Tunisia, there's posters of Zain al-Abidin all over the place. He looks like Al Capone. See, all you have to do is put a wanted sign underneath it, and nobody would be surprised. Man, who's that? Is that Public Enemy nowadays? See, now if you would do him. It goes with the Muslims and the non-Muslims. Their light is in their face and their darkness is in their face as well. So that's what they do. That's what these people have to offer. And if you put your children in their schools, don't be surprised when they get involved in drugs. Don't be surprised when they get involved in dating and fornication. Don't be surprised when they start being disobedient to you, because that's what they're supposed to learn in the school. They're only being good students. That's all they're doing. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do, because that's what the whole goal is. What we have ruling the world is a bunch of drug dealers and cocaine smugglers. This is not a joke. You can read all this stuff. They're so honest, they print it in books. This isn't conspiracy theories. This is just facts that they even let us know about. The CIA is the biggest drug dealer in the world. And you can read it from CIA agents that have written books to make money after they retired. Yeah, we used to sell heroin. I mean, it's interesting that when Vietnam was going on, the drug of choice in America was heroin, because that's where heroin comes from. Thailand, Cambodia, they call it the Golden Triangle. It's the fecal triangle as far as I'm concerned. Nothing gold about that. And then when the war in South America, the Contras, and all, suddenly the drug of choice is cocaine. Because that's what grows down in South America. I mean, who brings in, there's tons of drugs consumed in the United States. Tons of it. Who flies them in? They're flown in military airplanes. This isn't a joke. I mean, this is fact. This is the world we're living in, folks. This is it. And the only reason it's like that is because somebody wrote a book. I don't have the answers, folks. I'm trying to work it out just like everybody else. But anyway, it's not a joke. We have to develop educational institutions. We have to get our children. We have to raise our children properly. Get them memorizing the Quran. Get them learning deen. I mean, our greatest scientists. People always talk about the scientists of the Muslim. These great, brilliant men like Razi and Kindi and all these people. Every single one of them came through a madrasa system. They all memorized the Quran before they wrote about botany and biology and medicine. Really, they were metaphysicians. They were fuqaha. They were hafiz.